This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And this is leading into Thanksgiving holidays, and I'm just thinking about previous holiday seasons. Do you remember about 2 or 3 years ago that there was a group called Organizing for America?
You're going to talk about, didn't they give you like talking points where you were supposed to go at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
Yes, they were promoting
politics.
They were promoting talking points to counteract your weird uncle with the Tea Party leanings. They wanted you to be able to anticipate his arguments and blow him away right there over the turkey and dressing.
Nobody seemed to think this was a really bad idea.
Well, you know, that same year, now this came out right before Thanksgiving, and then a couple of weeks later, they had the infamous Pajama Boy PSI. Do you remember the Pajama Boy?
Oh, who could forget? You need brain bleach to forget that stuff.
The 20-something-year-old guy and the slogan, I mean, he's sitting there wearing plaid onesie, okay, like little footed jammies. And so the slogan there beside it said, wear pajamas, drink hot chocolate, and talk about health care.
No.
Oh, my word. And oh, the conservatives had a field day with that. And you know, it's interesting because I went back to just kind of double check my memory on this today. And all of those talking points, by the way, it was on BarackObama.com. Okay, this was a Democratic National Committee funded thing. All of those pages are gone. You get a, you know, 404 errors. All those talking points have like gone into the memory hole. But you know what? I think this year we're going to have the same sort of thing, post-election trauma edition. because this is the time when all the family, all the disparate members of the family come together, and all of the worst elements of our thinking can get thrown out at one time.
You know the benefit of this, though?
Please enlighten me.
They're probably not going to be worrying about how many children you have or whether you homeschool or not.
You may wish that they were. You may prefer.
Okay. Everybody has difficult family. We have wonderful families.
We do. We have absolutely wonderful families, and we love them to pieces, but we don't agree on everything.
No.
We don't. And, you know, that's okay.
It is okay.
And that's a kind of strange thing. I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the game, whether it's politics or whether it's religious controversies or whether it's cultural things, you know, why do you homeschool? Why do you send your kids to the public school or whatever? We get so caught up in the debate and the game. Sometimes I think we lose track of just who it is we're dealing with.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this a while back, and I realized that, sadly, I found it easier to talk to strangers and acquaintances about my homeschooling than I did about the Lord. And I felt very convicted about that. And I realized that I had made it a habit to become comfortable talking about my homeschooling because we want to feel safe. We want people to know that what we're doing is legal, that it's good for our kids, that we like it, that our kids like it. Mm-hmm. And so you get used to defending it. And yeah. I think we need to be careful to remember our priorities when we're at the holidays.
Well, okay, now we talk about this sometimes because it was one of those eye-opening things, I think, when we first realized it. What is the purpose of a holy day? That's what holiday comes from, right? What is the purpose of a holiday? Well, you see it in Scripture. I mean, you see it in the way the Passover is laid out for the Jewish people, the very first Passover, and God is explaining to them, this is how I want you to commemorate. This is how I want you to memorialize what I'm about to do for you, and I want you always to come back every year at this time and talk about it with your family and remember the great things that God has done and what a great God it is that we serve. And really and truly, that's what holidays are about. They are memorials. They're times to remember. And it may be New Year's. It may be we remember God's mercies over the previous 12 months.
Right.
You know, Christmas, we remember God's grace and mercy in giving us the gift of his son who took away our sins on himself. You know, you look at all of the holidays. 4th of July, we think about the history of our country and God's mercies on our country and what a tremendous blessed culture he's given us here. And, you know, there's so many things to think about, even in the almost what you might say the second or third tier stuff like Columbus Day.
Right.
Or Flag Day or whatever.
Yeah, we memorialize certain days to help us remember, to help us tell the stories to our kids. We need to do a better job of that as a culture.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got to remember, yes, the holiday is about telling the story and it's about reconnecting with family. Mm-hmm. Because in our culture, we get those days off. Those are right. days that we traditionally spend with family. Yeah. And we've got to remember that there are more important things than getting our own opinion out there.
There's plenty of times to do that.
Yes, and that it's, first of all, our family will hear us a lot more if they know that we love them.
Right.
But, and so we need to remember that, just like, you know, the Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. Matthew 5:9.
Right.
That we need to be peacemakers, that we need to show love. You know, the Bible says that they'll know we are Christians by our love for the brethren.
Yes.
You know, and so we ourselves need to be careful about how we approach these controversial things going into the holidays.
Well, think about it this way. I mean, when you gather together in your church for worship on a Sunday morning, I mean, maybe you talk about things before and afterwards, but during the time of the service, you're supposed to be focused on the Lord. You're supposed to be worshiping God, praising God, praying to him, hearing his word taught, sharing your prayer requests and your burdens and such like that. You know, that's time that we set apart for that. That's not time to, you know, interrupt the conversation and say, by the way, let me tell you about this controversy in the state capitol right now. You know, but really, we need to focus on why we are here for this hour or this afternoon or whatever. And Thanksgiving, my word, Thanksgiving should be a time of thankfulness, a time to remember God's mercy. And we can have all of the political wrangling and all of the lifestyle wrangling and everything else all around the edges of that. But when we gather together around the table, we need to really focus in. Why are we here right now?
Okay, agreed. But somehow, I bet it's not our listeners that are going to cause the trouble over Thanksgiving.
Well, maybe not. And I
hope
not.
And so let's talk about how do you deal with difficult family at the holidays? Okay, we talked about us not being difficult, and we need to try not to be difficult. And sometimes that's hard.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about this. I remember, okay, let me tell a story on myself. I grew up in the South, and we just had this kind of article of belief that people from up north are kind of rude and pushy and, you know, Yankees are that way kind of thing. Because the few that we met were kind of that way. Well, I got to go on a business trip to Boston several years ago, and I took the whole family. Well, at the time, it was me and you, and then we had three little kids on that trip. And I remember stumbling around a grocery store in a strange city, and I was so put out, so irritable. And everybody was being helpful. And I thought, wait a minute. We're up here. I'm up here with all of these, go ahead and say it, all of these Yankees, and they're just as nice as can be. I'm irritable and put out of shape. Maybe the reason I thought they were that way was because I only met them when they had just gotten off 8 hours on the interstate with fratchety kids.
Yeah.
Because that's where I am today. Well, you know what? Maybe when we have unpleasant people around the table, maybe they're not normally that way. It's just they're out of their comfort zone. They're in a new place. They've traveled. Maybe we need to extend some extra patience to them.
You know how it's worth extending patience because I am convinced the way we relate to our parents and our in-laws and the extended family, we're teaching our kids how to relate to us one day. mm-hmm. when they have their own families.
Well, how many people do we meet that have trouble in their marriage because they grew up in a family where everything turned into a fight, where their parents were always sniping at each other? And so when they get to be grown-ups and they have their own marriages to take care of, they don't know any other way to do. You know, yeah. kids do learn by observation. You don't have to sit down and say, now, honey, I'm going to show you how you can do mental jujitsu and really pin down this other person's argument. We don't normally do that, but they learn from our example if we are rude or if we get wrapped up in other people's arguments like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need to be cautious about that. Our children are learning even when we're not intentionally teaching them.
They really are. And, you know, we also want our kids to know that relationships are worth struggling for, they're worth suffering for, they're worth fighting for, mm-hmm. that I don't want my kids to walk away from their marriage because they have a temporary torque. You know, I don't want them to walk away from me and their relationship with me because I've offended them. And so we've got to teach our kids how to do messy when it comes to relationships. We've got to teach them mm-hmm. How do you deal with uncomfortable situations and unpleasant people? And when somebody attacks you, how do you maintain a relationship through those things? Because I want them to be able to do that. Because, you know, it might be me one day that's difficult to live with. Sometimes I am.
You know, a piece of advice I got one time for dealing with hostile reporters was to try and anticipate the questions that are going to come up. And then you can kind of think it through and not be caught flat-footed. So if somebody, you know, if you know that every time you see Aunt May at a family gathering, she's going to pin you down about your homeschooling, then you can have an answer ready for Aunt May that's a polite, considerate, gentle answer that doesn't compromise on your own convictions or anything, but simply a respectful way to answer that so that you don't have to improvise it.
Well, the Word of God tells us to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. You know, we should have on the tip of our tongues, mm-hmm. be ready to explain the gospel to somebody, to justify yeah. the decisions we've made because we're Christians.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as it depends on us to live peaceably with all men, as it says in Romans 12.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a real challenge for us, you know,
it sure is.
To say, excuse me, that maybe, you know, maybe the other person doesn't want to be peaceful, but we can try to keep the conversation pleasant, try to keep the conversation from going off into the weeds somewhere.
Well, let's talk about some practical ways to do that, Hal. But before, why don't we take our break just a little bit early?
Yeah.
And then let's talk about practical ways to do this, to survive these conversations and to keep the peace with our families. But let's thank our sponsor.
You know, I was looking at schoolhouseteachers.com, and that whole program is just continually growing. You know that just in the past week, they have added 10 new classes in
there.
Really? Yep. And it's everything from missional living and discipleship and building faithful marriages to all about maps or so you want to be a pastor.
I mean, or teaching your children financial stewardship.
Yeah.
I mean, or American Lit. Everything. I
mean, there's a wide range of stuff. They've got a section dedicated just for fall and Thanksgiving resources to do unit studies and to help your celebration and all. And, you know, that's the neat thing. The schoolhouseteachers.com is just such a broad resource and it's so inexpensive. And you can find something for all ages from, you know, pre-K through adults.
And there's no extra charge. That's what I love
mm-hmm.
is, you know, we've done some online classes that were hundreds of dollars for each child.
Yeah.
You know, this is only a few dollars, and it covers the whole family, as many classes as you want to do.
So, schoolhouseteachers.com.
Yes.
Go check them out and thank them for being sponsors of this program.
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about difficult people. Sometimes you didn't want an argument, but somebody is holding one out to you. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, I think the best thing to do is, first of all, remember a soft answer turns away wrath. We can, you know, Proverbs 15:1 tells us that
yeah.
we can take offense and get defensive, and pretty soon there's a shouting match and the holidays are ruined.
You know, and I think an important thing is that if we are working on our own convictions, I mean, if we make a decision because we believe this is how God would have us to live, that we don't have to get approval from other people.
No.
And if somebody doesn't like it, that's okay. They don't have to like it. I don't depend on them liking it. No. And it's okay for them. Perhaps they have different convictions. And you know, it's very freeing when you can really just make a decision to live and let live like that.
Oh, it's so hard, Hal.
Well, it is hard because we want to justify ourselves.
Well, and see, I think that's what a lot of it is. I think a lot of times we feel a little uncertain in our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel safer when everybody else is doing the same thing we are. And so we try to convince everybody else to do the same thing we're doing,
mm-hmm,
so that we feel better about the decisions we've made. Yep. And, you know, I think we just need to grow some spine and realize, okay, we've decided to do this. This is what we believe is best for our family. We're going to do it no matter what.
And it's okay to say, you know what, your decisions may be different from mine.
Yes.
And that's okay. I don't have to, you know, it's not my job to convict you. It's not my job to say that I'm doing it the only right way and I have to convince you or die. But just to say, well, no, this is what we're going to do. This is how we manage. This is what we believe.
Okay, practical stuff.
Sure.
Once again, Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
We don't have any Uncle Toms, do we?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. No. Uncle Tom, who has harassed you for 5 years about homeschooling your kids.
Yeah.
You have answered every possible question he has, brings it up again. So are you ever going to let those kids go back to school? First thing, deflect. Please pass the bean dip is what one of my friends calls this.
Yeah.
You know, pretend you didn't hear him. Please mm-hmm. pass the bean dip. Change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you can do. Sometimes that doesn't work.
No.
Now, you and I learned something really early in our marriage that has helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'll consider that.
Because, you know, a lot of times people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
A lot of times people say, I have an opinion and I got to share it with somebody and you seem like a good person to share it with.
And they want to know you're taking them seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, I'll consider that says, I heard you.
Yeah.
I'm considering what you said. I'm taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my decision.
And it doesn't really encourage the conversation to continue, does it? You know, no. That's kind of a closing sort of statement. But
because, you know, sometimes people have genuine questions. You know what? Mm-hmm. You know that. You know whose questions are genuine. If people have genuine questions, sure, answer them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're just trying to bait you, you can refuse to be baited. You can just answer, thank you, I'll consider that, and keep repeating it till they get the message that you're not going to go there.
Sometimes it's a good opportunity to just smile and ignore them.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, thank you, I'll consider that. Please pass the bean dip. That mm-hmm. doesn't work. Thank you. I'll consider that.
Sure.
There are some times, though, that you have to go a little bit further. Sometimes you can just let the other person talk.
Well, we've got a friend who likes to ask questions. When yeah. somebody throws one of these rhetorical bombs at her, she said she found some comfort in Jesus' example. Sometimes Jesus would answer a question by asking a question in return. Kind of like, well, what do you think about this? You know, to kind of put a little spin on it. And I think it was Dale Carnegie said there's no subject anybody loves quite as much as they love talking about themselves.
Yes.
And so, if you know, you ask them to explain their opinion or why they would choose to do something different, you know, that sometimes can deflect it and get them off on their own monologue.
Well, I remember one time being at a dinner party, and someone started just sharing a really offensive opinion, and it was way over the line,
mm-hmm.
and nobody really knew what to do,
mm-hmm.
because before you can really rebuke somebody, you've got to have some kind of relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a rebuke without a relationship is a recipe for disaster.
Right.
That's how fights get started.
Sure.
And, you know, so people just kind of let him talk and nobody responded.
Hmm.
And eventually he wound down and stopped. You know, and so sometimes you just let him talk.
Hmm.
If it's something that you can engage in, ask him questions, you know, let them talk. But sometimes you let them talk. Sometimes, though, you need to step in because sometimes they are making your children uncomfortable. Like, I have seen people that would get the homeschool kids aside mm-hmm. at every family event and quiz them. And
that's no fun for the kids.
Well, it's no fun for the kids. It's a holiday for them. Some kids handle it very well, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, we have one child who was very precocious and very well-spoken, and he would just flatten them. They'd ask him stuff, and he would just flatten
them. He would give them the 5 minutes talk on it. Yeah.
And I let him go because I felt like, serves you right, you shouldn't have asked.
Yeah.
But
some others you need to kind of step in and say.
Sometimes the children feel uncomfortable themselves, or they feel attacked. Or you have a child who has a learning disability and is doing perfectly well, but not on everybody else's time frame.
Yeah.
And then you need to be able to step in, and you need to do that in a loving way. Mm-hmm. Like, what might that look like?
Well, okay, you can invent an errand for him, for one thing.
Yeah, you can say, like, oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I really need you to do something for me, son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is to kind of joshingly intercede, step up, put your arm around your son and say, uh-huh. oh, come on now, today's a school holiday. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk about that stuff on the holidays.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but step in. Be aware when troubling family are making your kids uncomfortable. They need you to step in, but they need to see you do it in a way that preserves the peace. It's really yeah. easy to say, don't do that to my child.
Right.
Isn't it better, though, to show our children how we can show respect for the older people in our family?
Yeah.
Without allowing them to bully us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thing.
You know, how to tell somebody to stop being a bully while acting like a Christian?
That's true. And, you know, it's probably okay if you know that there's a tense situation, it's probably a good idea to have some, let's say, some escape lines planned.
Yeah.
To be able to say something kind of politely like, you know, I think we've all got pretty strong opinions on that. Why don't we save that for some other time?
Yeah.
You know, let's not put a strange flavor on Thanksgiving by talking about the election right now. Or whatever, you know, whatever maybe it's, you know, it may be a relationship issue in your family somewhere. Maybe you've got somebody who's having family troubles or a child is on rebellion or something. You might say, you know, that's a difficult conversation to have over a feast, don't you think? And so it would, you know, something like that. If you say there's some situations out there that I know could come up and could be awkward in the situation, think about how you can maybe deflect that conversation without causing anybody to lose face. That's a thing.
Well, you know, one way is to change the subject. And something that I have found that is generally pretty safe
mm-hmm.
is to talk about memories. You know, to say, hey, do y'all remember when? Or to say, Grandpa, can you tell us what did you like to do at Thanksgiving when you were a little boy?
Ooh, there. Okay, now you got people talking about themselves again.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, you can make some interesting discoveries like that, because sometimes people will open up in ways that you've never heard before.
Well, that's something that we've done with our kids, is we've taught our kids how to ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids have learned things about our family we didn't even know. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one of our children having a conversation with one of my great uncles.
Yeah.
And him telling him war stories that he'd never told his own brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that there's an opportunity there, not just a matter of, you know, how can we escape difficulties, but really there's a positive thing to look for opportunities to connect with older members of the family or members of the family that you don't see much of, to try to make a connection with the larger family tree, if you will, the larger family history. And that's a good positive way of looking at it.
And, you know, so you can mm-hmm. deflect.
Mm-hmm.
You can agree that you'll consider what they have to say.
Right.
You can, intercede in a polite way and get out of the situation or get your child out of the situation.
Yeah.
You can just answer the genuine questions.
Yep.
You can change a subject. And changing the subject, you can talk about family memories. You can talk about their memories, memories you've had with them. You may have to start it. You know, if you just say, everybody share a memory, people just sit and stare. But if you say, hey, do you remember that time we went to Myrtle Beach? I think I was about 7. And tell them about a situation that happened.
Right.
And get people talking, get their juices flowing about the past.
Mm-hmm.
You can also introduce a new activity. Like you can say, hey, why don't we play a game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some really cool games that any age can play.
Right.
Like catchphrase,
uh-huh.
we do as a group, pit.
Mm-hmm.
Civitas is a new government game.
Right.
That all ages in our family enjoyed.
Okay.
Snake Oil. There's a bunch of games that are fun in whatever size group.
Mm-hmm.
With all different ages. So you can play a game.
Do you know what my extended family used to do on occasions?
What?
They would do jigsaw puzzles.
That's a good idea.
I mean, actually, honest to goodness, they would get out a card table and they put out a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and have like 4 of the aunts and uncles or cousins or whatever clustered around putting puzzles together.
Now, see, we did that with games.
Okay.
We played Millboards. Uh-huh. We played card games. We did games.
Mm-hmm.
You could go out and throw the football around or
right.
the frisbee.
Yeah.
You know, but introduce some kind of activity. One activity that was a real surprise to me, I remember one Thanksgiving that was a little tense. Mm-hmm. And people were having a hard time getting along. And we suggested that we sing hymns.
Mm-hmm.
That we sing Christmas songs and old hymns.
Yeah.
And we passed out a stack of hymnals that we had. And some people kind of made fun.
Yeah.
But then we started singing. Everybody loved it. And my grandfather,
yes.
who I had never seen him shed a tear in his entire life, started crying.
Yeah.
And I said, Pop Ray, is everything okay? And he said, it's just happy memories. I haven't sung like that with the family since I was a child.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that we've found, you know, we like to host the holiday celebrations because we like to set the agenda and set the tone of it a little better that way.
It really helps.
But one thing we've found is that the culture, the world's culture is so, ironic and so I'm not sure what the word was, so cynical that there's a spiritual hunger that's out there.
Sure is.
That people feel a need to do something that's more transcendent. They want to connect with something bigger than their everyday smart aleck existence.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they push back initially, really you see that they latch on to some of these activities, some of the little traditions and rituals and celebrations that you might do in your own family. Sometimes people will grab a hold of them like, this is the most awesome thing ever. So, you know,
I remember we do this tradition at Thanksgiving where the youngest child that can read reads this ancient poem, 5 Kernels of Corn.
Right.
That's about the pilgrims.
Yeah.
And my very sophisticated brother.
Yeah.
Insisted on recording it to take it back to China to show his friends in China.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
And so
don't be afraid to be different.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to just let the grace of God wash over your celebration
mm-hmm.
and to give him glory. And do what it takes to be at peace with your family. You know, give them grace. It's just a day or two. They may really annoy you. They may get all over your nerves. Maybe they're narcissistic or controlling. But, you know, when we give them grace and show them love, we are giving our children a powerful example.
And you know what? We've all got our stresses and our concerns and our party loyalties and stuff. But, you know, when we sit down at the table, you're not sitting down with the Tea Party.
No.
You're not sitting down with the Democratic National Committee. You're not sitting down with the President Pro Tem of the Senate or that gubernatorial candidate that was such a jerk on the campaign trail. You're sitting down with your aunt and your uncle and your grandparents and maybe your kids or whatever. You're sitting down with real people.
Who share the fabric of your lives.
And you know what? For a few hours, you can put all of that partisanship and stuff aside and say, I want to reconnect with the person. And the person that I love is more than a cluster of opinions.
That's the truth.
That is a real person with a real heart, with a real history, with a real need for love, a real need for the gospel. And I want to connect with that real person. And if they've got a D after their name, an R after their name, or they've got an alternative lifestyle or whatever, we can deal with that in another time. But right now, I want to reach out to that person and say, you know what? In spite of everything else, I love you. And that may be the most important thing you can say in a holiday.
Yeah.
Is to reach out to that person and say, you know what? You're loved here. So.
Really, that's what unconditional love is all about, Hal.
Yeah, it is.
Putting somebody else's needs more highly than our own, regardless.
So, if you're expecting to have unpleasant people around the table with you at Thanksgiving, and maybe they're going to be a stressed out college student coming home to visit, or the weird aunt with the strange political activities.
Maybe we ought to talk about that before Christmas. Okay. Reentry of young adults into the family.
You know, that's an important topic. That's a good thing. Let's talk about that on a future episode. But right now, I think we need to wrap this one up.
All right.
And put it out there for the world to see. We want to say, if you're listening this week, we hope you have a really joyful, happy Thanksgiving. If you're listening in the archives, we hope that all your future Thanksgivings are joyful and happy. But whenever you're getting together as a family, remember that. You're there as a family. You're not there as a political party. You're not there as a movement. You are there as a brother, a sister, a cousin, a nephew, a spouse.
We would like to encourage you to head over to our website at raisingrealmen.com/shop, because we have introduced a ton of great resources for your family. The kind of gifts you can feel good about giving.
Mm-hmm.
People ask us all the time, how do I get my boy off of the devices and doing real things? We've introduced a bunch of kits and projects that he's going to love to do, including chainmail, calligraphy, wood burning, you name it, leather. It's great. And
we've got great books. We've got great audio products. We got all kinds of nifty stuff. So yeah, come out to raisingrealmen.com/shop and please do.
Yes. Because that keeps us going. It keeps our ministry going.
Right.
And if you'd like to support us on an ongoing basis, go to patreon.com/Hal and Melanie.
And we would love to see you out there too. Okay, so until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.